Speak. Can you
Is
hear
my
me?
volume too low?
I can hear you.
Perfect. I can hear you now.
Good, good. Good. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad.
Apologies that I did kick you out. A lot of your tests are starting to come in now.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, some of them have. So we should have hopefully all of them by Friday.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
I haven't had a chance to get through them yet, but I will.
No worries, Greg. We're not until Friday anyway, so we're good to go. This is the good news about this tonight. Are
What's that?
you
Oh,
doing it?
sorry. What I'm actually talking about. Yeah, correct. Right. Sorry.
I'm seeing
Late.
people popping on here now.
It's late night for me. Hey,
Believe me,
Paul.
I get it. Times 10.
Actually, let me call.
There's Paul. I'll check my mic for a bit.
Your mic's all good. Darren, do you want to give us a win for the week while you're on?
What was that one more thing?
Do you want to give us a win for the week?
Oh, a win for the week. Absolutely. What was my win for the week? I had 3 days out. I was on vacation. Well, not vacation. It was a little getaway to family. Brought everything with me. Lots of little things came up and down, but I maintained pretty much everything I was supposed to. A little bit of eyeballing on a couple of meals, but everything stayed as it should. And I was down like 3.5 pounds or 3 pounds or something. So not that I wanted to lose 3 pounds, but it just obviously what I had done was pretty close to the mark. So everything went well. So the vacations are getting way easier to be away and still be able to do this.
Nice, brother. You smashed it. It's amazing to see your body composition change over the past 6 weeks. So that's an amazing win. Paul?
Finally figuring out working weights and training from a change at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, but the past few weeks just been increasing every week until getting to the point where I'm pushing myself. I need to
Nice.
actually work.
So is that finding like your opening set weight that you're trying to figure out quicker? Is that what you mean?
Kind of. It's like where I'm not increasing weight to each set to get to it, or when I'm not told to. Because some sets have it increasing weights, finish off at one rate, finish off the last weight. That is taking me longer to figure out than just one weight throughout all of them.
Gotcha. No, that's good, man. It does make a difference. Cody, how are we doing?
What's up, Master Greg?
What win have you got for the week?
gratitude. The win for me is gratitude, despite all the things that are uncomfortable and that I don't like. So, and to be fair, I'm pretty good at maintaining what I need to where I need to be in the gym, and my nutrition is usually on point, and I'm okay with that. And so yeah, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good, a lot of to be grateful for, and a lot of suck too. So
If you can appreciate the suck, that's a good mindset to have, brother.
for sure. Of
Thanks for
course.
that. Lewis, you got a win for the week? No. You hear me, Lewis?
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, gotcha.
I actually had a couple of major changes, the couple of things that you ended up like changing my program, and I got through it all and got up today and was like, able to move. It's like my body wasn't like fighting me all day, so it was a major gain for me because my leg days have been really tough and this solved it. So thank you for that.
Oh, amazing. It's good news, man.
Big sunset here. So
Oh, nice. You're still in Florida?
yeah,
Nah,
until April.
well for
I'm
you,
coming
innit?
back to the 26 inches of snow. Thank you. No.
Nah, well for some.
Yeah.
watching Darren under 2 foot of snow, us under 2 foot of rain, and you're over there in Florida just enjoying life, man. I would as well if I could.
Yeah.
John, you got a win for the week? I'll come back. Seth, you still there?
Yeah, just technical difficulties abound. Can you hear
Yeah,
me?
we can hear you fine.
Good. Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
Great. Great, great, great. Wins for the week for me. My ass is no longer sore from that workout on Saturday. The 80 goblet squats, I think, and the lunges did me in. Don't worry, Mats, it's nothing that I can't say out loud here. Yeah, no, solid week. Just a personal win. Closed a we closed a very important round of funding for a project that we were working on, and that was causing a lot of unneeded stress and tension. And so that's a good thing. And had a great workout today, great workout yesterday. I'm way behind on my interval training for my rowing, but
Way behind.
way fucking behind, not gonna lie.
Nice.
So that's
No
me.
question about it. Anybody who doesn't have their screens on, do they want to share a win for the week?
I can share a win here. It's Mike.
On, Mike.
I'm in the car. I'm just commuting, so I'm here in
Yeah, no
spirit
props with it.
right now. No, I've had last week was kind of an off week, so this week started good, strong. Training's going well. Just telling Mats I just got a little bit of a different style of training going. Andrew's changed me up. I'm gonna start training toward that high rocks. It's been fun, and it's been good to see where I need some improvement too. So yeah, that's my win for the week.
So you're going into the high, you're going into the high rocks world, are you, brother? That'll be it
I'm gonna
then.
try it. I wanted to do something different, and that came up first thing. So I said, you know what? That's what we'll incorporate that into life for a little bit.
Seth was thinking about it. He was looking for a partner, actually.
Right? Maybe we can do more than one.
What do you think, Seth? I'll come back to you, John, one
Yeah,
sec.
I'm all into it. I my issue. I got to get this. I have this plantar fasciitis challenge that I've had for a long time, and I think I'm going to see a doctor about it finally, to try to resolve it. Because running, it's fine for the moment, and then an hour later, it's a lot of pain. So I'm trying to work that out, and I've been dealing with it for a while. So if anybody knows anything about PRP or something like that, let me know. That's where I think I'm going down the path of.
We must have someone in our ecosystem who's done it before. We'll
Yeah.
find out. John, you were saying? I'll pass it over to Matt.
I decided to push the weight a little bit on the weekend challenge, and that wasn't any problem. And today, I decided to be brave and push my top weight on my dumbbell shoulder presses up 5 pounds, and I got 4 reps out.
My man. That's great, Wynn. You're getting stronger every week now. Matt, you got anything to say before we get started?
Yeah, let me take you guys through a couple things before passing it over to Greg here for the presentation. So as most of you guys know, Greg will actually be presenting on the silent killer for men, cardiovascular disease. And two key takeaways that you guys will walk away with are going to be the one key thing you are missing and that can often be overlooked when it comes to cardiovascular disease. And then the second is the specific genes that you should be taking seriously when it comes to cardiovascular health. So those are definitely two things that you guys can look forward to tonight. Let's take a peek here to see if there's any new clients on the call. I think I already looked and I didn't see anybody. Okay, these are all the regular boys. That's good. For some quick client shout outs, we'll start with Coach Dan. Coach Dan wants to shout out client Sal Martella. I actually just had a call, a great call with Sal a few days ago. He's not here today, but if you're watching this, Sal, big kudos to you, brother. He's down 8 pounds and seeing results on all fronts. So he's not just down 8 pounds, but his blood work has been optimized, thanks to Greg and Dan. And then his inflammation is way down, which is great. From Coach Andrew to Paul Madura, big shout out for finally committing to a muscle camp so that he can improve his exercise execution, efficiency, and effectiveness. Kudos to you, Paul. From Coach Chris, shout out to Mike Forrest, who's not on the call, I don't think. I think Mike Shaw is here today. But Mike Forrest, if you're watching this, shout out to you, brother. He's hitting 9 training sessions per week right now, 9, and not missing a beat. And that's pretty impressive. Sounds like you got your recovery dialed in order to manage that. Last but not least, I'm going to give a shout out from Coach Gav to our client, Espen. Espen's been with us now for 3 weeks. He's been with us in the past for a few years. And more recently, he's come back. He's been with us for 21 days. And his shoulder pain is down from 95% to less than 10% being reported in just 3 weeks, which is great. Most of us have probably had some nagging injuries in the past or some stiffness, and I think 21 days is very respectful, worth a shout out to Coach Gav for sure. He also actually had a second one in here for client Eugene, for hitting his 90-day goal in just 7 weeks. So that's pretty impressive. With 5 weeks to spare, he already gained 5 pounds of lean muscle. Great job, Eugene. Eugene's out on the West Coast around Cali, I think. Before moving on to a couple things with you guys here, we wanted to wish an early happy birthday to George. George, if you're watching this, I'm pretty sure your birthday's tomorrow. So happy birthday from all of us at Muscle Intelligence. And since we're doing shout outs, there's quite a few on this call that deserve some kudos. Paul, Bill, Mike, Shalash, Robert, Mick, and John. We love to see you guys posting your weekly challenges in the WhatsApp chat. So great job, guys. Thank you for doing that consistently. Since you guys already did some wins with Greg, we'll skip that part. And then just a few more things here from me on housekeeping. Quick update on the muscle camp. So I created a private WhatsApp channel and invited all those attending to join us there for efficient communications and coordination on all things important, and any upcoming event updates. So, we're going to be sharing some more content and some more updates in there. If you guys keep your eyes open, you'll see that. And we do have a few more spots left. So before we are full, if anybody on the call has a friend, coworker, or potential family member that would like to attend, please let me know ASAP, or you can message Greg as well. We'd love to have this camp fill up as soon as possible. And we look forward to seeing you guys all there in sunny Tampa, Florida. Last but not least, quick shout out to our wonderful affiliates at Real Mushrooms. If you guys are after rest, relaxation, immunity, focus, cognitive function, these guys got you covered on all fronts. I personally have had at least 6 to 7 of their products myself. And there hasn't been one that I haven't enjoyed from Real Mushrooms. I've had their cordyceps, their lion's mane, their reishi, the turkey tail. They're all fantastic and they're all amazing. I would say my personal favorite is for sure the hot chocolate five defenders. It's like a really nice treat that you can have at the end of the night to boost your immunity. And it just tastes really good. They have a sweetened and an unsweetened, so you guys can pick. If you guys use code BPACK, you can save 25%. And that's on realmushrooms.com, spelled exactly the way that you would think. And this is the code if anybody wants to save. All right, that's it for me. Over to Greg on cardiovascular health.
Yeah, guys, you want to do the lion's mane? The lion's mane's great if you're ever doing like deep learning. Genuinely, it's really, really good. So today when we talk about cardiovascular disease, what I wanted to touch on with a little bit more detail, is some of the possibly reasons that you guys may not know. in regards to what drives cardiovascular disease. So we'll talk about like a little bit in regards to what it actually is. Then we'll touch on some of the lesser known reasons. I'm going to follow up on our call, most likely the one that we're going to do next week or the week after, in regards to a lot of interventions. I'll touch on some interventions today, but today more so I wanted to talk about what's like the one thing that you need to work on in regards to correcting your cardiovascular disease, whether you've got high lipids, whether you've got some sort of genetic issue around cardiovascular disease that you need solving. But I think because males, it is mo for males, it is most likely what's going to take us as cardiovascular disease. So we need to be armed with the knowledge of what actually drives it. We most of us will understand that a typical Western diet will drive it. But what are some of the hidden mechanisms that you may see or may be less aware of that can drive cardiovascular disease that you guys aren't thinking about? So we'll start there. As I bring this up. Everybody see that okay? Just give you a thumbs up. Yep, thank you. So we'll go through cardiovascular disease, coronary calcium, we'll touch on, and male health, we're going to touch on the next call a little bit more. So how cardiovascular disease can affect not both re male reproductive health, but more so in regards to erectile dysfunction. I think one of the biggest mistakes that guys make in regards to erectile dysfunction is the automatic assumption that it's a testosterone problem, when realistically, it may be more of a cardiovascular problem that's driving that. But that's for another day. So what the main goals that we're going to try and figure out is what actually is cardiovascular disease. We'll touch a little bit on how we can test for it. Some of the blood markers that are needed. We'll do a small cardiovascular recap, because I think that's important. There's a lot of information that we see out online where people will argue, do we need to worry about high LDL? Do we need to worry about oxidative stress? What are the major drivers of cardiovascular disease? But also, I think we need to know what it actually means. So what's actually happening? And we'll touch on how coronary calcium actually accumulates. And then we'll talk about some of the unknown factors and a little bit on how to correct it. I'll give you guys some interesting research and small tidbits of things that you can put into your diet that have been shown to be beneficial for cardiovascular disease, relative across the board. First of all, we have to think about what actually cardiovascular disease is. Worth knowing, this is not Ben's quote, he's just in the slide. There's four entities in regards to it. So we've got coronary artery disease, where obviously calcium builds up within the coronary artery. We've got cerebrovascular disease, which tends to be brain associated. We've got peripheral arterial disease, which tends to be poor blood flow to the extremities or the periphery, generally seen in the lower leg. And then we have aortic atherosclerosis. When we consider these four different things, I think it's important to recognize that people can suffer. People can suffer from different parts of these or early stages of these without them being known. Cardiovascular disease for a lot of guys is very much a silent killer. So it's important to recognize a lot of this. A really interesting quote from Thomas Sydenham, an English physician, who said, "A man is only as old as his arteries." And for the vast majority of us, we have no idea how old our arteries are. So most of us are in the pursuit of longevity or optimal health. And I put those things in inverted commas because we don't tend to actually associate them with much. People will say the words like longevity. People will use words like health span versus lifespan, when realistically, they don't actually know how to manage that or how to actually improve it. And centrally, for most males, cardiovascular disease is one of the biggest issues. Now, We need to consider like the wide variety of things that can play a major role in atherosclerosis or cardiovascular disease. Like we all know, most of you know the real traditional stuff, right? So we know smoking. We probably know lipid particles, right? So elevated LDL, which has been championed for a really, really long period of time. But most of us don't know any, I mean, most of us will know that high blood sugar, so type 2 diabetes can be an issue, high blood pressure can be an issue. But what about medications? What about the microbiome? What about genetic issues, like over here where we see, excuse me, like over here where we see homocysteine? What about autoimmunity, which tends to be relatively high, not so much in the male population, but definitely in the female population? What about stuff like prostaglandins? Prostaglandins is, you can consider it like the balance between omega-3s and omega-6 in our blood. That seems to play a role as well. That's something that we can test on a blood test and look at some of the more nuanced stuff around it. Who thinks about air pollution, toxic chemicals, medication that we possibly consume? So we can see that this expands far more than just what we consider as like some of the issues around Western civilization of high LDL and high body fat. There is much, much more to it than that. And this is just a little bit of a scare tactic for you against you guys. So the annual number of deaths by cause, cardiovascular disease, now it's actually dropped slightly since this, but if you look at cardiovascular disease, it actually doubles the death of cancers, right? We have respiratory disease, we have diabetes, and then we get into stuff like dementia, kidney disease, and all the other stuff that tends to occur. But we can see that cardiovascular disease far outnumbers the next five or six, almost in combination. Okay, before we get into some of the more interest stuff that you guys may find interesting, we first have to talk about how cardiovascular disease actually starts to occur. This is going to be a brief overlook on it. I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to lose your guy. I don't want to lose everyone's attention in regards to this. But there generally has to be some sort of initiating inflammation. Now, there is some research now that shows that just high levels of LDL over a lifetime does seem to cause some sort of an increased risk of cardiovascular disease or an increased risk of injury. So sheer numbers seems to be enough to do the damage. But stay with me here. When we look out here, so this is where we'll see the blood flow. So the yellow part at the bottom is actually over the endothelial lining. Okay. So everywhere, where's my cursor? So everything up here is actually where the bloodstream should be. Okay. So in a healthy blood flow, we should have no damage to this lining. But like what happens within our gut, with increased in either like hypertension, dyslipidemia, cigarette smoking, diabetes, whatever that is, we get initial damage to that endothelial lining. So everything starts with that initial insult in some capacity. So we need damage initially. Then what can happen is the LDL can creep across. And once it gets in behind to this, into the space behind, what we see is the immune system then responds. It gets oxidized. The immune system responds and phagocytizes it. But when it's unable to remove that LDL from circulation, eventually we get these cell debris or liposomal enzymes that accumulate and create this fibrous cap that eventually starts to, I guess, thin our blood vessels, which lead to poor blood flow and also calcium buildup, and you get this fibrous cap. So it's worth understanding for a lot of people that most people here know the LDL idea of atherosclerosis by itself is extremely simplistic. So just LDL driving this problem. We need to understand that there's so much more going on here. It can be the lowering of nitric oxide production. It can be high inflammation, high oxidative stress. It can be heavy metals can do damage here. What they've also found, which is very interesting, is even the bacteria within our gut can be found in some of these fibrous caps. So it's why we have associations between the gut microbiome and cardiovascular disease. There is no part of our organ systems that don't play into this. So it's a multi-organ problem, not just an LDL problem. I think this is where most people make the mistake, or I guess where I perceive Western medicine makes the mistake here. We look at it as an LDL problem when really it's a systemic problem. Now, when I always touch on this because I think it's something I never ever want to overlook. And it's the number one lifestyle factor that we have under our control. And I'll stop sharing screen for 1 second here. From all you guys, do we know what our blood pressure is? Type it down if you know it well. Who checks their blood pressure regularly? So mine this morning was 118 over 70. Thompson's good. Paul, slightly elevated. We had that discussion, but when you do yours in the morning, it seems to be okay. 120 over 80, good. Nice, guys. This is the thing. This is one of the things that can just do sheer stress. So if we're thinking not a chemical problem, so it's not a high blood sugar problem, it's not an oxidative stress problem, it's not a rust problem, it is just predominantly sheer stress. And for guys, this is a real issue when we think about cardiovascular disease. So for some of us who don't regularly check our blood pressure, this would normally be one of my first indicators of cardiovascular risk with a client. Where's your blood pressure at? How can we correct for this? And there's lots of different ways in terms of lifestyle, whether you think aerobic work. There's loads of simple tricks that people tend to widely ignore with regards to blood pressure. So some of the research that gets lost to the annals, why this happens? Well, you could go conspiracy theory. You can go conspiracy theory and think it just gets ignored, quite possibly. But some of the stuff that's been shown real benefit in regards to dropping blood pressure that you guys can incorporate within your life tomorrow. 50 milliliters of pomegranate juice daily reduced systolic blood pressure by 7 points just by itself. High strength hibiscus tea does the same thing. So if you're ever noticing elevations, just incorporating those things can get your blood pressure down, possibly not in full combination, we don't know, but realistically it can get your blood pressure down by 14 points, possibly with combination. So if there's anyone in the room who isn't regularly checking or doesn't know, that's the first step that you guys have to make in regards to trying to correct for cardiovascular issues. So always got to get on top of blood pressure. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so you guys told me what your blood pressure is. So one thing that's worth noting, a lot of research will find that there's a web of cardiovascular disease dysfunction. and it comes from somewhere amongst, there is slightly more to this, but it comes to somewhat of these mechanisms. So we know you can see by insulin, so there's a pancreatic function. So anyone that has elevations in resting blood sugar or elevated levels of HbA1c, that's a cardiovascular risk. Some of the things that tend to be widely neglected. So coming from a guy who's probably had 3 to 4 traumatic brain injuries, how many of you guys have had concussion? And there's a few different ways you can think it's EBI. So it is
Have had what, Greg?
a TBI, a concussion. So you can think of it in a few way, in a few ways. Have you had concussion? How many concussions have you ever been knocked unconscious? So, if you hit multiple of these targets, so if you've had a concussion, you've had multiple hits in terms of concussion, or you've been knocked out through concussion. It's always football, man. You Americans are wild, man. We don't even get that in rugby. But that can play a major big role in dysregulated blood pressure. So a lot of the time people just assume blood pressure's got something to do with something from the neck down. It can be a brain-centric problem. So if you have history of concussions with clear signals of cardiovascular risk, it's always something to investigate with a little bit more detail. So in my circumstance, I've had the concussion, I've had multiple, I've never been knocked unconscious. But looking at it and layering your concussions in that way could tell you if you need to put a little bit of extra effort into brain health. So what can happen for some people is with mo it's called the multiple hit theory of concussions. We see it in American football players, right? But what happens within our brains is they will eventually shift to a neuroinflammatory state, and they stay that way. And that can be quite difficult thing to shift.
Recording in progress.
About you, Seth? So when we flip into that neuroinflammatory state, we have to do a lot of work in order to dampen that inflammation for people with chronic issues around brain. So recognizing that. Those are you guys who are walking around with gastrointestinal dysfunction. So whether that's diarrhea, constipation, leaky gut, chronic infections that go unmonitored, they can all play a role. And then when we look on stuff like mitochondrial function, and I bash this all the time, right? Like when we talk about how aerobic work and its importance for overall health. And then some of the stuff that you guys see now, whether my opinion is a little bit mixed, but we see stuff that works directly on the mitochondria, whether that be methylene blue and other substances. But thinking in terms of like your B vitamins, your alpha lipoic acid, your iron, your copper, your CoQ10, it's why they've all got really good benefits around cardiovascular health. Now, looking a little bit further, what are some of the lesser known causes? Circadian rhythm actually seems to play a massive role here. There's a reason why most cardiovascular incidences happen in the morning. We have higher levels of cortisol in the morning. Anybody here ever had a cardiovascular event? If they're willing to tell the time that it happened?
Three PM.
Ah, so you were more of a day man. So circadian or issues around cardiovascular events tend to be more common first thing in the morning. And that's because our circadian rhythm plays a very, very important role in cortisol release. So that increased stress response first thing in the morning can be the tipping point that causes it. But we have something in our brain called like a BAMO clock, and that will help to regulate all of our systems throughout the day. So it's why there's associations between people who get less than 6 hours sleep and cardiovascular events. So sleeping at the right time, waking at the right time seems to have really positive outcomes for long-term health, not just the standard stuff that we tend to pursue, but also on a more grander scale, like cardiovascular disease. Who has had issues with dental infections? I have, so I had to have one removed. Who has, sugar, what do they call it again? Where they reroute your tooth? That can have genuine consistent issues around cardiovascular disease. If the bacteria in your mouth can gain access to your bloodstream and can be very damaging to your arteries, capillaries, and veins. So ensuring appropriate dental health, and sometimes this is something I gloss over when I'm on an intake with a new client who has risk of cardiovascular disease, but it's really, really important. So if you're not getting regular checkups in your dentist, if you're not removing the mercury fillings that some of you may still have, that can all play a major role. Genetics we'll touch on a little bit later. Root canal. Thank you, John. Rerouting. Genetics we'll touch on a little bit later, but this is going to break some of your hearts. How many of you guys consistently cook your food at really high heat? So how many of you guys are regularly barbecuing your food? And some people struggle with this genetically a little bit more, but heterocyclic amine is that beautiful sound that a steak makes when it hits the grill. That's quite detrimental for DNA damage, so both DNA damage and cardiovascular risk. Now, there's ways and means to avoid it. So for you guys, you can either try and actually avoid the act itself, great, or lessen it, but marinating that meat makes a really big difference. So rosemary, thyme, lemon juice has been shown to be really effective at lowering some of that HCA or some of those HCAs. They're called heterocyclic amines. We get them as well from like cigarette smoking or polluted areas. And or the incorporation of oxidative or antioxidant rich foods with it. So whether it's like asparagus, broccoli, cruciferous vegetables, whatever it may be, having those alongside your steak can help to lower some of that burden in regards to HCAs. So there is other stuff to take into consideration rather than just a standard lipid panel. Now, where am I? Now, this is interesting. So these are some of the ways that we see increase, or some of the places that we see increased cardiovascular risk, where there's areas with increased air pollution, which is expected, but also areas where we see increased light. So this is where we see increased artificial light and its risk burden for cardiovascular disease. So this is a tricky one to show people because you may live in a really built up area, but it shows the importance of having dimmed lights in the evening. It shows the importance of either like red lights within your home, or blackout blinds in the evening. Light exposure does seem to cause a problem, so it's just worth noting for you guys. Now, we spoke about this. Several studies show association of sleep and autonomic dysfunction with major surrogate markers of atherosclerosis. Sleep is often dramatically ignored by people, whether it's a priority thing or the inability to sleep, but sleep quality, sleep duration plays a major role long term in cardiovascular health. We know this, right? So we know we need to exercise, that's fine. But trying to incorporate the type that's going to be most beneficial for you. For a lot of guys coming in with real atherosclerotic problems, aerobic capacity is going to be the most important thing. So slow, steady cardiovascular work. It's boring, but it can play a really positive role long term. And then don't get me wrong, the amount of muscle mass that you carry is also really important with this. This is always a tricky one. And this is one of the things that I really struggle to comes to come to terms with in regards to overall health. Who here can happily say that they are truly relaxed at any stage throughout the day without the overburden of either a racing mind or racing body, whatever that looks like? But we can see chronic stress as a potential suspect zero for atherosclerosis. Who, if you're willing to share, who actually practices stress reduction like on a daily basis, or who just watches television in order to switch off or distract? I try and do meditation as much as I can. So if you're willing to share what you guys actually do, that'd be really helpful. I think learning the true skill of de-stressing is super important for our long-term health. Meditate every day. Nice, John. Morning or night, John?
Morning, and I've been using an app called Balance, which has guided meditations.
And do you find it works? Do you find it works effectively?
I've been enjoying it. I've been working my way. I've been working the way they said. I've done 130 some meditations through that app. That's what it said
Right.
this morning.
Nice. So Lewis mentions yoga, breathing, and prayer. Interestingly, about prayer, those who truly believe tend to recover more rapidly from cancer. So true belief actually plays a really big role. We do it all: daily stretching, meditation, and the all-important and often ignored siesta. Man, yeah, siesta is a beautiful thing. I agree, Darren. But for you guys who don't have a daily de-stress protocol and assume that you don't have a highly stressed body, may just not know what true relaxation is. We can't, or at least it's really, really difficult to out-train, out-eat, and out-supplement a really stressed organism. So having a true relaxation or de-stress protocol is really, really important. Tricky one as well. Loneliness has been shown to two, flip the immune system to a more pro-inflammatory state. Loneliness is perception. Loneliness is a greater predictor of death than alcohol consumption or cigarette smoking. This research really came to light, obviously, during COVID, but it really hit home in regards to a lot of people out there that perceive loneliness. So if you, so, and the mechanism makes sense, right? If we think back evolutionarily, if we are in a happy tribe, we will become more resistant to viral infections. Because obviously we're perceived to be around people, so they get passed from person to person. If you perceive loneliness, the biggest fear to the body is a bacterial infection from a cut or a bite or whatever it might be. So in response to that, the body creates a slow, low, simmering inflammation or immune response in order to respond to it quickly, because the body recognizes that there is no help available. So loneliness is one of those things that is strongly associated with poor health outcomes. And I think it's always important to remember that it's perception. So you could have a million people around you, but if you still feel lonely, you're still going to get this not just psychological, but physiological problem. Oops, you guys aren't supposed to see that. Get that by mistake. Would anybody here actually perceive themselves as being lonely? Just worth questioning. So Thompson mentions he definitely struggles with that one a lot. Your work drives you to doesn't drive you, almost demands that you're lonely to a certain extent, because a lot of yours is in a laptop at home, right? So whether with loneliness, it's the then ability to try and find tribe. So wherever that may be, so whether that's guys in the gym, whether that's places or things that you reach out to that has group involvement, and that can lower loneliness. But there is also a reason why people of faith even will tend to have lower levels. So what actually trumps loneliness is purpose, weirdly. So people who are alone but have purpose don't seem to get those same responses. Now, some of the things that can cause issues that we may not know about. So, like, chemicals can actually be a real problem here. So I'll use an example. So highly polluted areas can cause real problems around like oxidative stress and inflammation. Now, this generally isn't me saying you have to move out of the polluted area, but one of the things that you have to take into consideration, like, I believe it's one of Andrew's clients lives in Shanghai, and some of those Chinese cities are horribly polluted. And in that circumstance, I was literally like, you need air filtration in every room that you spend the most time in. So if you live in a really built-up area in the States, it's generally like New York, LA, Chicago's not so bad. I'm trying to think of the couple of other cities that were overly polluted. But if you live in those cities, then having air filtration in your bedroom and where you work is a really appropriate way to try and prevent some of that. And then you can look at things like plastic products. I still do this, which is wild, and I've read all the research on it. How many of you guys drink from the plastic cups that you get in Starbucks? Honestly, because I still do it. Well, you're all liars then. But especially heated plastic is a real problem. So BPA, is something that they seem to are finding much more accumulation in the human body. Now we're still not sure whether it's the plastic or what's attached to the plastic that's actually causing the problems. Situational, and it's Tim Hortons, right? So I think looking at how much plastics are you consuming on a weekly or a day-to-day basis? And one of the biggest ways that people are doing it are actually from coffee lids, pesticides. Some people, in terms of toxic chemicals, recreational drugs, right? We know. But pesticides, herbicides can be a problem. So trying to get predominant food from organic. But if you're not going organic, you can always think of the Clean 15 or the Dirty Dozen. So they listed the fruits and vegetables in particular that seem to be the most pesticides that are used on. So if you just type into Google the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen, you'll get a good idea. So like you can kind of get away with the Clean 15, and then if you're going to use some of the fruit and vegetables from the Dirty Dozen list, maybe worth trying to get those organic. Now, I think this is a good point to look at for you guys, what you need to work on. So I need an answer from all of you. From the list of the stuff that we went through, what is one change that you can make in order to improve your cardiovascular outcome? Always been sleep for you, Seth. Sleep. Sleep. So that's interesting, right? So if any of you guys, so Arshdeep Zone 2, nice. So for you guys, when you talk about sleep, do you mean your inability to sleep, or your poor planning for sleep, or your poor prioritization? So yeah, so guys, the guys who get sleep, I said sleep, is it just because you can't sleep? Is it because you don't prioritize it? Or is it just poor planning? Or time, right? Because time can obviously play a big role there. You just don't have the time to get enough sleep. I like the honesty set. Some people just need to watch their shows, man. So, we'll touch briefly on what coronary calcium is. So, I told you how it begins to accumulate, but now we can actually see how it tends to accumulate for the average person over time. So, if you look at, like, even for people in their 40s, they have a 50% reduction in nitric oxide on average. So, the vast majority of people by the time they're 40 start to accumulate some form of coronary calcium. They're actually finding in like 20-year-olds who die in car accidents that they've already got calcium accumulation in their 20s, right? So where do you stand on this coronary calcium accumulation scale? And we know this now, so we can actually check for this. And there's a few different ways that we can look. So a coronary calcium is a very basic, rudimentary, cheap in the States way to find out if we are accumulating any coronary calcium. And any is too much. If because once the actual damage begins to occur, then you need to unravel it fairly quickly. So if you've got even normally 0 to 10 wouldn't concern me too much, but if you start to get 100 and above, you have to get quite clear intervention in place in order to you can reverse it to a certain extent, and there is some cool research out there showing that you can reverse it by 25 to 30%. But generally speaking, the goal is to arrest or just to stop its progression to make sure you die with this and not of it. So how many of you guys know your coronary calcium score? There's also more advanced versions of this now, so you can do like a Lively score, which will pick up really early stages of plaque buildup. But coronary calciums in the States are actually quite cheap. I've seen some states you can get them for $50. I'd love to know where yours is now, Patrick. So Patrick, you were high blood pressure, probably too much body fat when you joined MI, and dropped a bunch of weight, controlled for blood pressure. I would love to know if you've actually reversed some of this. Doctor wouldn't do it because of your two stents. 40-ish, I believe. So 40-ish isn't too bad, Seth. This is something that we'll probably want to do at some stage again, just to make sure. But 40 is probably not a big deal. Lewis, always worth doing, man. Darren, I don't know how easy it is in Canada. That's always the problem. Because you're public health, you have to get a doctor to sign for you to go and get it done. Whereas in the States, there's places you can just walk in off the street and get it done. But this is a really interesting way for you guys to know, have I got any damage done already? And do I need to make mild intervention or more extreme intervention in terms of my health or cardiovascular health? I've spoken for too long. So some of the genes that are associated with cardiovascular disease, people will say things like, oh, it's genetic, right? So my dad, my mom had cardiovascular disease, therefore I do. And there's some truth in that. But for the majority of the time, it's because they eat like their parents did, therefore they have accumulated cardiovascular disease. And it's similar with blood pressure. There is genetics that predispose us to blood pressure, but they're not predestinations. But there's some of them that are a little bit stronger. So ApoE is the gene that's strongly associated more with issues around brain dysfunction and neurodegeneration, but also has strong association in cardiovascular disease. So when some people ask me, is my high LDL a problem? Just, oh yeah. I'll just touch on that quick. So Seth asked, what do I think about the Cleerly test? Really, so like from I now mind, it was actually clearly giving me the presentation, so I'll just keep that in mind. But it seems to pick up earlier levels of plaque, and that a coronary calcium score won't. It also gives you an idea of the stability of that plaque, which is really interesting. So for anyone who's interested, we can have really stable plaque, which is actually a good thing, or we can have instability within the plaque, which means that it is at higher risk of rupture. So the Cleerly scan will give that, I believe. So ApoE strongly associated with neurodegeneration and cardiovascular disease. This increases our natural production of LDL. But also, what ApoE does, ApoE is supposed to transport the LDL around the body. But what we find in these genetic polymorphisms is it loses the amino acids. On a long story, but it can leave LDL really, really prone to oxidation. So that tends to be one of the biggest problems with cardiovascular disease, not just the LDL number, but how many LDL have been damaged by some sort of outside source. So ApoE is one of the stronger ones. LP little A is probably the single most genetically driven driver of cardiovascular disease. So this is another LDL problem where we get these little LP little A's attached to it, which are really atherogenic and cause a lot of damage both to the endothelial wall, but also oxidize the LDL. When people, this is the one that's associated with, the guys in their 50s who are marathon runners but drop dead of a heart attack. And they have no idea why. LP little A will be wiped out in the next 3 years. There's drugs going through research now that are knocking 90% of this gene out. But if you have elevated levels of LP little A, that is a true problem for cardiovascular disease, independent of some of the other problems. And some of you guys may have heard of what they've coined, like the motherfucker gene. So this produced, we spotted a little bit earlier, something called homocysteine. If we have problems with, you'll see people like Gary Brecka talk about this a lot. If we have problems with the MTHFR gene, that can lead to really high levels of homocysteine. And homocysteine, again, by itself is an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. So when we see elevations here or SNPs here, this can lead to things like high blood pressure, poor nitric oxide production, so poor vasodilation. So it can lead to all these consistent issues that people may not know about or understand. Actually, thinking about Patrick, Patrick had, probably won't remind me saying, had problems around MTHFR and higher blood pressure. And when he corrected for some of those methylation problems, his blood pressure dramatically increased. So it's worth noting. And then PSRC1 is the one that's strongly associated with huge increases in LDL, both production and non-reuptake by the liver. So when LDL does its job, it passes around, it goes around the body, passing off triglycerides, cholesterol, fat-soluble vitamins. When it gets back to the liver, it's supposed to get reuptaken. But obviously with this gene, that becomes an issue. And lastly, because I realize I've been talking for a long time. ENOS is the enzyme responsible for nitric oxide production. So some people have SNPs directly in this gene, so they don't produce nitric oxide particularly effectively. So they have to be very particular about the type of diet that they consume in order to control for blood pressure. Now, that was a lot of talking. I didn't realize I was on for so long. Your guys go. Have you guys got any questions?
Great question for you. So when
Go ahead.
go through the genetic testing, are there any of those risk factors that you mentioned or things to consider not included in that genetic test?
No, they're all there. They're all there in some capacity, yeah.
Cool.
Anybody else? So this can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be about cardiovascular disease. It can be about anything nutritionally.
I do actually have a question, Greg. You mentioned that that's only a stateside thing that could that testing we just brought up a few minutes ago. The what is it? Which one was it?
Coronary calcium score.
Thank you. Coronary calcium score is as a Canadian, can I get it done in the States if I'm down there, like getting other testings done? Because I know there's a few things I'm gonna have done for you in Toronto when I'm there coming up. But otherwise, is that I can just walk into a clinic when I'm down there and say, hey, I just here's my money. I need this done.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the
Okay, beauty.
States has many problems, but it's good for that.
Okay,
For
perfect.
sure. You just walk in, give them your money, and they'll do what you want.
Done.
Anybody else have anything else they want to bring up or is top of mind? No? We good, boys? All right. Well, it's past midnight for me, so it's my bedtime. But if anything comes up, chuck it in the group. I'm more than happy to answer. Or you can message me privately. That's also cool. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I was going to say I did have a couple of things that aren't coming up right away, but I'll go back through the record and I'll just make a quick note. I have a few things here, but
You
I'll
can
hit you
ask
with them later.
them now if you want. It's no problem.
Actually, no, they're not specific. I don't really know the question I want to ask yet. I just wanted to look at it first.
No problem. All right.
I'll
Okay,
fit it in
fellas.
for a moment on Friday.
All right, bud. All right, gentlemen. I'll speak to you all soon. Thanks for joining me.
Much, Greg.
You're
Cheers.
welcome.
Thanks, guys.